While I was away on vacation a little while ago, one of the things that I wanted to do was spend some time thinking about pastoral strategies, ways to help bring people to Christ. There's certainly a lot of methods and ideas that have been tried or have been tried in recent times, especially, or in the course of history. Every time, every culture has its own particular need, right? Its own particular approach that might work better there. But in another way, in another sense, we're all made in the image and likeness of God. We all share that. We still have the same desires and the innate built-in longings. When I first was made pastor here about 3 years ago, I was trying to understand, how do you do this? How do you bring people to Jesus? How does this work? I'm still working on that. But in the beginning, I think I was very afraid to make mistakes. You might think of a first-time parent, you know? Don't eat dirt, it's bad. Make sure everything's childproof. Run and check the child every time they make a noise. You know, you parents, you know how that goes, how that progression works over time. Eventually you get to know what the needs are, what really needs attention, what doesn't, what can wait. You start thinking to yourself, you know, dirt isn't so bad. And maybe it will help the immune system. If nothing else, they'll eventually figure out that dirt doesn't taste that good, so they won't do it anymore, right? In some ways, as a priest, I feel like I have a great amount of sway or power of how to form the parish. And at other times, it feels like I have no power, no ability to do anything. It doesn't make a difference. I can identify with the preacher in Ecclesiastes today. He says, vanity of vanities. All things are vanity. What profit comes to a man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? And you say to yourself, isn't there another way? Am I doing it right? Does it even matter what I do? Will all the effort make a difference? So I spent some time praying about what can I do to help my people come to know God. Because just like any good parent, I want what's best for you. I do know, though, that to be able to find that path, it's not an easy thing. And there are many things that will lead a child away from that path to God. There's many things that will appear to be easier, more appealing, more culturally acceptable, more profitable, perhaps. And these things will entice us to turn aside from time to time and turn away from the path that God has given us. St. Paul speaks to us today. He says, think of what is above, not of what is on earth. Put to death the parts of you that are earthly, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed of idolatry. How, St. Paul? How do we do this? Very often it feels like it can do very little to help. I feel like the parent who longs for the child to make the right choice, but who also knows the child must make that choice for themselves. I want you to choose rightly. Yes, I do. I certainly do. But I want you to choose rightly. I don't want to choose for you. I want you to discover and be enthralled with the choice to encounter God, to fall in love with Him, and experience the journey of faith. But it's not something I can give or make happen. And that's the sticking point, right? I wish I could just, here it is, you got it, now go, works. But it's something we all have to discover and learn. I can share my own poor experience, I can share the wisdom of the church, but for each of us, this is a journey. That's a journey that we're on, that we have to discover, and that we have to find our own unique path. So often I feel like the world offers us this plethora of enticing little treasures. And what I have to offer is a hunger, and that's about it. It's easy to see why people often choose what the world has to offer. It's a grace to desire God. It's a gift. What can I do to help my children desire God and invite God into their lives? It requires suffering. It requires self-denial. It requires a self-recognition of that real encounter and that ongoing conversion of the heart. What power do I have to help my people want this? Very little power. But one of the things that I do, that I did while I was away, was I revisited one of the greatest witnesses parish priest, St. John Vianney, whose feast day would be today if it wasn't, or tomorrow, would be tomorrow if it wasn't Sunday, the patron saint of priests. He was sent to a little forgotten place called Ars in southern France. The people were indifferent to the faith, had little desire for the things of God. After the ravages of the French Revolution, they weren't really, you know, going up to find God. It wasn't something that was high on their priority list. So he spent 41 years in this little forgotten place. And what was his pastoral plan? What was his strategy? He certainly did things like catechize his people. He heard confessions regularly. He visited his parishioners. But it seems to me his main pastoral plan was to cultivate the hunger for God, to pray for his people and let them see his own hunger for God. So the fruit of my time away, I think one of the fruits anyway, was to be in touch with my own inner hunger for God, something that is ever in my prayer and at times sorely disappointing. Like a lover who desires to be united to the beloved, but is more often than not denied, that deep longing is there. It becomes unbearable at times. And so much so that it can be tempting to try to fill it or fulfill that hunger with other things, with distractions. Whether they're good or bad. And these at the root are an attempt to fill that hunger for completeness. I want to be full, Lord. And this longing is in each one of our souls. It's part of who we are, this ache for God. What can I do? How can I help my people get this? What's my pastoral plan to make this happen? I don't know. There are little things that I can do, and I try to do, and will continue to do. One of the things I can do is to be in touch with this inner hunger for God, to follow it, and grow it. Neither denying it, nor trying to fill it with lesser goods. This is something we all experience. I know I'm no St. John Vianney, just in case you're wondering. So I can't do the things that he did. I won't be able to do what he did. But my prayer, my hope is that you, my people, will come to know God and to desire Him. That's one of my greatest desires for you. So what I'm trying to say is, in our lives, we are constantly trying to fill this hunger within us. It's just part of who we are. We eat, we sleep, we seek sexual union. These are the natural physical hungers that we experience in our bodies. On a deeper level, we experience the hunger for God, which is also natural. To remain hungry is painful, right? It's painful. That's why we want to be full. We would much rather be full. We constantly are looking for ways to be full or remain full. And yet, paradoxically, to remain hungry means that we are keep that search or that seeking of God open. To some degree, we cannot fill this hunger for God. We can temporarily fill the other natural hungers. We call it satiation. So I've eaten or slept enough to the point where I'm full. I don't need any more now. Later I'll want more, but for now I'm full. We seek that same feeling on the spiritual level. This hunger for God drives us to keep searching and looking for God. What can happen is that over time, instead of growing this hunger for God, I actually work to reduce that hunger. I do this by filling that hunger with lesser things. I train myself to dull it by filling myself with lesser things. And often we go through these cycles. And I slowly transfer my natural hunger for God into a hunger for other things, like hobbies or distractions. It can even be addictions or compulsions that we feed. On the most basic level, we don't regularly eat to satiation. That's what the church tells us to do. We shouldn't do that because we want to keep that openness, that there's a connection between our natural hungers and this hunger for God. The church tells us don't be slothful or lazy, oversleeping all the time. Again, because there's this connection. And it's good to have self-restraint. Fasting is good because there's a real connection between the physical hungers that we experience and the hunger for God. And this is part of the reason why people, I think, often struggle with sin, especially sins of the flesh, after they've overindulged, whether it's in food or drink or laziness, or maybe binge watching movies or Netflix or whatever. By doing these things, we have tried to replace my hunger for God with these other things. But it never totally works. It never totally satiates. It never totally fills us up. And that's why we often see these cycles. We kind of go through these patterns of hunger, fullness. And we just go back and forth. How do we overcome this temptation to replace God with lesser things? One thing we should try to do is to stay hungry. It's paradoxical, I know. It doesn't make any sense. To stay hungry? What? Why would I do that? But to stay hungry means to keep looking for God. It means my focus is truly on seeking God, encountering God, and learning to find Him in my daily life. But at the same time, realizing that there will never be that satiation, that fullness, and that's okay. Instead, this hunger will continue to grow, and our desire for God will increase and continue to grow in intensity and capacity over time. And we'll begin to recognize the Lord more and more. But because that hunger has grown, we won't stop seeking Him. We'll continue seeking. We'll go to prayer more often. We'll want to be with Him. We'll recognize Him in the people around us and the situations that we come across in life. We'll want to be with Him more and more. And this happens by staying hungry, not by being full. So, it's a long, hungry road. And I'm no expert at it, I'm just beginning in some ways, but this is something I can share with you, my people. I can share my hunger for God, and it's real. And you and I are meant to journey together so that we can encourage each other, especially in moments when we're tempted to turn aside to the fullness that the world offers, rather than that which God offers us. So brothers and sisters, stay hungry.